Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Ordained Chaplains podcast. My name is Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society University, and this is the work of a chaplain. Lesson 8, Lesson 12. The simple purpose of this podcast is to help those who are interested in serving others through chaplaincy, pastoring, coaching, and counseling to learn the basics of this profession. Our work of the chaplain passage for this episode is Luke 6:30-31, which says, "Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise." Our work of the chaplain quote for this episode is from S.W. He said, "God has chosen us to help one another." In this podcast today, we are going through the fine book, The Work of the Chaplain, by Naomi K. Paget and Janet R. McCormick. Our topic today is ministry tasks and competencies for the chaplain, part 5. Assessing the need. The chaplain meets new people on a regular basis. Often these people come with urgent needs and issues for which they have few or no ready resources. They may not expect long-term spiritual care, but they recognize their inadequacy in a particular situation. Before the chaplain can provide any ministry intervention, the chaplain must make an assessment of the person and the circumstance. Donna wandered into the front office of the Agape Women's Job Corps. She asked to see a counselor because she had a lot of problems to deal with. The receptionist served Donna a cup of coffee and reported to the chaplain, "There's a woman named Donna here to talk to you. She says she has a lot of problems to deal with. Can you see her now? She looks fragile." In Donna's situation, the receptionist had already made an assessment. She looks fragile. Without making assumptions or accepting other opinions at face value, the chaplain clarifies the situation by doing an informal assessment. This assessment is made during the initial conversation by listening to the client's story. The assessment becomes a foundation for the ministry that will be provided. In this way, the chaplain's spiritual care becomes assessment directed rather than merely an alleviating of symptoms. The chaplain may consider many aspects of Donna's situation, her physical health, her psychological well-being, and mental health history, her employment and economic situation, her relationship with family and friends, her connectedness or isolation from religious or spiritual life, and the many aspects of her cultural identity. What kind of counselor was Donna expecting to see? What kinds of problems is she dealing with? How is she currently dealing with these problems? How has she dealt with them in the past? Who or what has been helping her up to now? Are these real or imaginary problems? Is Donna's perception of the problem consistent with the chaplain's perception of the problem? As the chaplain begins to clarify the situation, he or she is more able to provide appropriate spiritual care. The assessment provides the chaplain with the opportunity to intentionally observe, interpret, and consider possibilities for ministry intervention. Some assessments are formalized questionnaires that are designed to identify specific areas that may require ministry intervention. Some assessments are informal, relating to general concerns or needs. Other assessments determine acute needs, both physical and emotional, such as whether or not the client is suicidal or malnourished. The assessment process is an intentional way to evaluate the situation and determine appropriate spiritual care interventions. Dear friends, if the Lord tarries, is coming and we live, we will continue learning about the work of the chaplain in our next podcast. Let's pray. Holy Father, God in heaven, thank you, Lord, for giving people wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Thank you for the authors of this book, this our text, the work of a chaplain or the work of the chaplain, and how they break it down in a very simple way. And Lord, help us who are interested in helping others and leading others to Jesus Christ to apply these principles and your wisdom to every situation. For your glory, praise, and honor. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. And now, beloved, if you have come across this podcast by chance and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, allow me to show you how you can be saved from sin and from the punishment of sin, which is hell, even today. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws, God's commandments. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That includes you and me and the Pope and everybody else. Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin. Is called death and eternal hell. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Third, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are on the road to hell if you have never trusted Christ as Savior. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Also, the Bible states in Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable, mean and hateful and cruel and wicked people and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and all idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now this is bad news, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will. You have God's word on it. Romans chapter 10 verses 9 through 13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Trust Christ today as your Savior. I guarantee you that if you pray to him right now, he will save your soul. Follow me in this prayer called the Sinner's Prayer. Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I've done wrong in my life and that I have broken your commandments and that I deserve hell, eternal hell. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of my sins. Have mercy and grace upon me. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, I believe that he died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to repent of my sins past and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray, and for his sake, amen. Dear friend, until next time, please keep in mind these reasons. Dear friend, until next time, please keep in mind what you've learned in this lesson. Use it for the glory of God and to help others along this road called life for the glory of God.